sitting here in your gallery in a nice afternoon, just a little bit brisk outside, and I'm looking at these just gorgeous photographs that are kind of compilations, I would describe them as. You've taken some buffalo and added landscapes into them, and you use many photographs to define the outline, in a way, of some of the images you have. It's hard to describe this on the radio, but can you help me out, honey?
Well, the technical term for them is a composite, and what that means is compiling photos on photos digitally on the computer. You used to do it in a dark room with multiple negatives or whatever. So what I'm trying to do, really, and what it has become, is an expression of how nature mimics itself from, you know, the very smallness of it to its bigness. So, you know, you can start with something like a piece of fur or a feather and figure out that it very similarly matches ferns on the ground in a forest or the trees themselves. You know, clouds oftentimes look like things, you know, we see that all the time, but when you can apply that to a photograph and through very little manipulation, you just can illustrate those connections. That's kind of what the process has taken me through.
So are all of these your photographs that you've taken over time and then put them together? Is that right?
Yeah, I only use photos I've taken. I've been doing this for a very long time, so I have a lot of photos to work with.
That's really cool. I see here, is this a crow I'm looking at? Is that right, or is it a raven?
It's a raven.
Okay, thank you. So I've got a raven, and its tail turns into like trees along a lake, which actually fits. It looks like a raven's tail until you look at it. You realize, no, that's a photo of trees reflected in lake water.
Right, exactly. And the other thing that's neat about that one in particular, and most of the ones, I try to keep the photos I use to the area in which the original photo was taken. So that raven photo was taken in Yellowstone, and the lake that's on its back is Yellowstone Lake. And I don't always stick to that, but for the most part, I try to. The other thing that's cool about that particular piece is on its head, I put a photograph on there that's if you were crossing a creek and you look down at the water that's going through two rocks, it makes a little ripple pattern. And I had snapped a photo of that. And if you look at it, the pattern that creek makes and then look right behind it is its actual feathers, and they're remarkably similar. And so when I put that photo on there and it just matched so perfectly, I just, you know, how can you not just leave it there?
Wow. Wow. That's great. And I see images of buffalo here too. And of course the South Dakota prairie and the moon. How do you've done this for a long time, you say, but how do you see these connections, or what is it like when you see a connection? You know, oh, I can put a sunflower in this buffalo or whatever.
You know, really it happens a lot more on accident than intentionally. A lot of times I don't know the route I'm going to go, and they actually start to be the boss of me at a certain point in time. A lot of these I started off thinking they were going to be totally different than they ended up being, and it's just because it's what the original shape of the creature pushes out. You know, it's not so much, you don't have the free will of a paint stroke. You have to find something that looks like something. And so in that, this one here has, the ridge line on this buffalo's back is in Spearfish Canyon. And if you're standing at the latch string in, you look behind you and there's this, and the sun happened to hit it this one day, and I had just gotten done hiking. I couldn't believe how beautiful it was, so I took this photo, and I was working on the piece, and I needed something to put on that buffalo's back. And, you know, so you kind of have the shape of a buffalo's back, and you kind of scroll through your photos, and all of a sudden there was this hillside, and I said, okay, well, I'll put it on. And it matched so perfectly, I mean, you couldn't even, and I actually left a little bit of the buffalo's back on there just to show how exact that image was.
Wow. Yeah, it just fits perfectly. Yeah. And I know you've taken photography, you know, you've done photography for a long time, landscape photography. I've seen some of your images and video even go viral. I remember one of the storm here in
right.
The Black Hills that picked up by the major TV networks, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep.
But I mean, you can make that happen, but what does it take to start a business like this? That's what you're doing now. This is you know, the combination of artistry and business, and I'm guessing they're two different sides of the brain. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm learning that very quickly. I think, you know, the answer to why I opened this store really has to do with the fact that people like seeing what I'm doing. And one of the coolest things that happens to me is someone will call me up and say, oh, you got to go outside and look at the sunset right now. Or they saw something that just, I wish you were there to capture it because I know you could have done it. And so there's this really cool thing that when somebody sees something beautiful or remarkable, they think of me. And that's just really excellent. And so to me, that implies this responsibility to show people that the world is a beautiful place. And so if I can take a photo that makes somebody see something different or, you know, changes the way that they experience life, then that's pretty cool. So you can open this store and expose more people to that are just walking by on the street rather than just seeing something on Facebook or, you know, virally or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. Is there a difference in the bookkeeping and the marketing and all of that stuff? I'm guessing there must be.
That. Absolutely. I went ahead and hired a bookkeeper right away because that's I learned that I'm good at photos. I'm not good at checkbooks. So, you know, that's been really great.
As part of the business, obviously you're selling some pretty high-end artwork here, but it looks like you also have some cards and some calendars. And how does that balance go in making the business work? I'm sure it's great when you sell a nice big piece of art, but it's also, I'm guessing, some of the smaller items help pay the rent too.
Yeah, it's a bread and butter situation. The cards are great. The other thing is I know that not everybody can afford, you know, to pay $400 or $500 for something, but they want it still. And to me, the connection, you know, somebody told me once that art isn't a painting on a wall. Art is the exchange of energy from the artist to the person viewing it. And so if you want to encourage that exchange, you have to make it accessible. So the cards and the necklaces, the prints, I've got, you know, I kind of tried to spread the price range out a little bit so that anybody can afford something.
One of your things that I've always admired is the wildlife photography you're able to capture. I've seen some of your work of bighorn sheep, and I've tried to get close to bighorn sheep in the Badlands, and it's just darn near impossible. They're usually, you know, a mile and a half away. And how do you capture some of the things you've captured over the years? Just blow my mind.
I think a lot of it has to do with your own way that you are with yourself, and then knowing that there's rules. You know, there's implied, you know, you don't go close to the buffalo because they're going to hurt you, but you can approach them to the line, and you know, if you're taking a photo and it's laying there and it's docile and you can read their energy and they can read your energy, you can get probably a little closer than you probably should. But you know, I really do think that if you're expressing no harm, then they pick up on that a little bit. It's not to say you should run out and pet the buffalo or the rattlesnakes, but you know, if you know their limits, you can go right up to that line. And the, you know, the same is true with the storm chasing and all of that. Is if you're aware of what it is you're exposing yourself to, or you know, getting yourself into, you can go right up to the danger zone and then back up when it's headed your way.
That requires some both sides of the brain thinking too, I'm guessing.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And you know, just education, I think, is really important. You know, knowing that it is the boss. Nature is the boss, and it's going to do what it's going to do. And, you know, I've always said there's a fine line between being awesome and being stupid, and that line has to do with pulling it off, you know.
The image of a rattlesnake just about to strike that I know you have taken is just mind-boggling. How did you not get your camera bit at least doing that?
Well, that's, again, the same thing as, you know, I know from learning that a rattlesnake can only strike the distance of its body. So if you are the distance of its body plus 2 feet, you're probably going to be okay because you can get out of the way pretty quickly. In that case, I put the camera on the ground. I was standing behind the camera. All I had to do was reach down and click a button. You know, so I was close to the line, but just on the other side of it.
And that's what it takes to get these photographs, I'm guessing, is pushing that line.
Absolutely. I think that's why not everybody does it.
Yeah. How much time do you get to spend outside, especially now that you're you know, owning this business and running it? To take these photographs, you have to be outside a lot.
And I think that's the major downfall to opening the shop is that I have to be here now. And so finding that balance of being here, I have another job. I'm a graphic designer, so I have to be there. I'm a mom, so I have to be there. And so it's really, the challenge has been, how do I not compromise this part of myself? Well, you know, fortunately right now it's cold outside and it gets dark quick, so your opportunities to be outside are less and less right now. So it works. We'll see how we do when it starts to warm up again.
I hope to see some signs here in June, back in 2 hours or whatever.
Absolutely. There's a cool storm coming. I got to go.
Yeah. Bonnie, thank you so much for your time. Is there anything else you'd like to add? Anything else I should be asking? Are there questions that help illuminate your work?
Yeah. I think it's great.
Yeah. Let me try to think what else I should...
I'm open Thursday, Friday, and Saturday.
Thursday, Friday, and Saturday.
Yeah.
So is that part of finding that sort of work-life balance, is having a shorter opening time?
Yeah, exactly. That's kind of when I found the optimal time to be here is during those days. Christmas gearing up, I'll be here a little bit more than that. But, I have to do the other job and the mom stuff, so.
Yeah, that's great. Bonnie Fleming, thanks so much for your time.
Thanks, Mike.